During your career, you had a peak at 50 in the world, but you had a lot of years quite early on in your career, top 100, top 200, top 300, before you had a bunch of years with some lower ranking positions. I wonder both, what do you think was the reason that you didn't, after the drop from the higher positions, what was the reason you didn't reach that far up again in the ranking, but also what was your reason to keep going and keep trying and to get energy, even if you were playing some lower grades tournament during a couple of years?
Yes, I went pretty fast to top 50. I almost feel like too fast, but I didn't have any injuries or anything, so I was just playing and practicing a lot, and all went in a good way. But then I got the virus from India when I was playing a tournament there, and I was almost 2 years away, but I still played some tournaments on that time, and more like doubles, and just to get out there and just to feel that I wanted to be in the tournament. So I didn't really expect that I will play that well, because I wasn't healthy enough to play like full power. And after the virus, when I was healthy enough, and I felt like I was ready to start to play like full power, my father died in the boat accident, and then I kind of had to totally everything went upside down in my life, and tennis wasn't that important anymore, and I was struggling a lot, like mentally, and it was a really tough time, and I knew that if I stopped playing tennis, it would be even bigger hole in my life. So I knew that my father wanted me to play, that I keep playing and enjoying and playing, but I played, but I didn't really, it didn't feel that important anymore. Like in the tournament, it was tough to fight through, or like I was like always so tough and mentally, but then on that time I kind of like I lost my biggest weapon, like the strength of the mental side. So it was really difficult time, but I kept going because I loved to play, I loved the sport, and also it helped me to get through of everything. And I knew that I will regret if I stop playing when I'm not feeling good, or if I don't I'm not stopping when I'm enjoying. So I kept going, and then when I heard that we're gonna play the Billie Jean King Cup, and that time it was Fed Cup at home, the first time ever, I knew that this is the time that I'm gonna stop playing, that this is the tournament that I wanna play, my last tournament, and this is how it ended up. So I kind of wanted to stop when I want to stop, not that I forced us to stop to play. And I think that was really good decision, because I haven't really missed the tennis, like the professional tennis player life, after when I stopped. And I think that's the main reason that I stopped when I wanted to stop, and I was ready to stop, and when I was enjoying playing. So it's a bit a different kind of career, but interesting story overall, but that's the idea about it.
Det här är Linus på baslinjen, en podcast om och för svensk tennis. This podcast is powered by Zenis, a Finnish smart tennis court system that I have tried myself when I were visiting HVS and recorded, for example, this podcast with Emma Line that you're going to listen to. I love the function that you can use the Zenis smart tennis court system as a coach. They have drills that you can use with your players. For example, you can try to hit as many balls in the court as possible during 1 minute. That makes it a fun practice, even if, regardless if you're practicing with juniors or with adults. And of course, you can also challenge the calls when you're playing matches, for example, and much more. I really recommend that you try Zenis yourself. And thanks, Zenis, for making this podcast possible. Today we have Emma Line as a guest here in Linus på baslinjen podcast powered by Zenis. Emma Line was ranked 50 in the world in singles and 64 in doubles the year she turned 20. Today she works as a coach at HVS and is also the captain for the Finnish Billie Jean King Cup team. In this episode we cover the keys behind her success as a player, her role as the captain for the national team. We talk about the lack of women players in Finland and why she knows she wanted to stay in tennis after her career. And of course, we cover the strengths and weaknesses of Finnish tennis. Please welcome Emma Line. Now I'm sitting here with Emma Line. Welcome to the podcast, Emma.
Thank you.
Emma, I'm thinking we will start shortly about your background. We all know you were a great tennis player, but please tell us how you got into tennis from the first start.
It was by accident, actually, because my parents didn't play tennis or they didn't know about tennis that well, and they had another sport background. They were athletics as well, but not the tennis players. But then when I was 5, I went with my older sister. We went for the tennis camp in Lahti, where I'm from. And then, we played one week tennis and we liked it a lot. And then we wanted to continue. So it was kind of like by the accident.
Yeah, okay. And you, as a junior, you became to be number 4 in the world, think.
Yeah.
What was the keys to the success as a junior to reach the top of the world?
I was healthy. I could practice a lot, play a lot of tournaments, and I was really hungry to see where I can go and how can I improve my game. And it's tough to say, but that time I of course didn't think about it, but now if I'm thinking back, it's I think one big thing was that I was healthy and I could improve my game and play a lot of tournaments, and then I played well, and then I got the confidence, and then it's kind of like a positive circle.
Yeah, of course. Was it important for your future career as a senior that you reached that far as a junior? Do you think that is important?
Yes, definitely. My parents, they never think that I would be like a professional tennis player or professional athlete. They were more like, hopefully I will do some kind of sport and just be part of sport, not like nothing more. So it was many, many years more like a hobby. And then I was only 14 years old when I won the nationals in Finland. So then was quite a big thing because I was the youngest ever to win that early, that young. So then the media and the federation, they were more like, okay, you play quite well tennis, so what's your goals and what do you want to do in the future? So then I started to think a little bit, maybe I should play some more tournaments abroad and get tougher matches. And so it was not really like planned, it was more like it happens. Like when I played good in Finland, then I went to play more tournaments abroad just to get the tougher matches and to see the level there. But definitely was a really big thing, because then I could play all the Grand Slam, Junior Grand Slams, and I played all the big tournaments, and I did well, so I knew that I have a chance, and I want to see if I can, how can I, how much I can improve, and how well I can play in the WTA level and ITF and WTA level. So yeah, I mean it was, I mean it was like kind of like I mean, of course I was thinking about it, but it came quite natural to go and play as a professional after a good junior career.
Yeah, of course.
And on that time there were not that many players playing the like the big I mean, and like professional women's players, so I couldn't really have players that I could look up and like maybe ask like how you're doing this, and so I was quite alone. So then also I think that's a good thing that I played well in juniors, and then because I got offers from the States to go, and then there was like no, for me was no option, because I kind of wanted to see like how well I can do in the pro level.
Okay. Do you today recommend players to go to the college tennis if they're on high level but maybe not the highest, or do you think it's still the best way to go pro right away?
I think everyone has their own path, and I would not say definitely yes or definitely no, because it depends on the personality and player and all so many things around. So like we know, there is many ways to go to the top.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's only one way. In my case, it was clear that no for college, but I would not say definitely no to others.
No. Okay. But you think it's possible to go that way?
Yeah. And but nowadays it's more the average age is higher. If we look at the top players and top 200 players, on my time there was like now it's funny, but like I was kind of like old when I was top 50, like when I was 20. So it was like I was old. So nowadays I would be young to be top 50 when I was 20. So yeah, it has changed. So that gives also more time.
Yeah.
But of course not that many goes to the top after college, maybe more for doubles or but not for singles, but I would not say it's not possible at all.
No. I also wonder, when you became number 4 as a junior, how did your setup look like up till then? Did you practice in a club? Did you practice privately or with the federation, or how did it look for you?
Both ways. I was practicing at the club in Finland, but then I was also practicing in England. I had a coaches there, so I had kind of like more private individual trainings there, and then more like club training here in Finland.
Okay. Do you think that's a necessary path for especially girls coming from Finland to go abroad? Because if we look at how it looks today for juniors, Finland is lacking female players, maybe. You can say if you don't agree.
Yeah.
But do you think it's necessary to go abroad to have your practice base?
I would not say that you have to go. I mean, you have chance to play well and do well if you're based in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if I was in... I was practicing in England and... But I still had a home in Finland. So it's more like I would, like anyway, we're traveling a lot, playing a lot of tournaments and traveling a lot and staying away from home. So then if they're also that all the practice weeks are also away, I don't know when you're going to see your family or friends or stay a little bit at home to eat Finnish food or something like that. But I would say the mix is good. So you should also go abroad, because then it's a different environment, and you play with different players, you met new coaches, or and you always learn, you get something, and also the international view of that, because if you only stay at home, it's quite small view, I would say. So definitely I would mix it up.
Okay.
But I get this question often, and I say that, I mean, we have a good pace in Finland to stay and practice it. I mean, we have great clubs, and I mean, we have courts, and we have, like, it's not that it's something, a miracle somewhere else, but I would mix it up and take all the good things from home and from abroad.
Okay. If we continue that path, you're the captain for Finland's Billie Jean King Cup team. What would you say is the status of the women's tennis in Finland? How is the moment for today?
We are now playing in the third division division, and we had the call to go up. Group two this year, I mean last year, and I mean we played 18 matches and we won 16, so as a captain I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's not that easy anymore, so you have to win all if you want to go up. But for me, I mean, as a captain I was satisfied how they played, and but at the same time, of course, like we have to think carefully, and we have to think what we can do better, because I mean we want to stay there in a group or division one or group one and go higher, so for me it's like 2 years ago we played and we were missing like a couple of best players, so it's not that we need everyone to be involved, if then we have a good chance to go higher, and because we don't have that many players, women's players in Finland, so
because that's an interesting topic. On the men's side, they are doing really well, and I mean they're in the a couple of players that are actually in the really top of the world. On the women's side, you're maybe lacking both numbers of players and also maybe the same level as the boys are at. Why do you think it is like that on the women's side?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and it would be great if I would have a clear answer for that.
Please give it to me.
Change it immediately. So,
but what do you think?
I think in women's tennis, we should work more together.
Mm.
This is for sure one thing. So I feel like boys, here in Tallinn, they come and they always practice together, and they communicate together. They're like best friends. They go and practice together, and they do like many weeks during the year that they practice together, or they go for step tournaments, and then on the girls' side is more like girls and women's side is more like they go for a little bit like everyone goes like own way or own. So I think would be good to cooperate more. If I think about like Billie Jean King Cup team players, that they should cooperate more together, help each other. I think that's a big thing, and also like like at the moment, I would say like the best coaches is they are more with boys and guys.
Okay.
So I would like to see that the best coaches would be more involved also for the girls and women's tennis.
Okay. Normally when we talk about making teams, the one of the arguments people have is that girls have more problems with working in a team than boys have. Do you agree with that, or what do you think?
I mean I'm more like a team player,
I don't know how I choose tennis individual sport, but I'm more like a team player.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I look for more that that way, and I see the big big opportunity there.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. Is it more like it's that way, or it's I mean from the players, or maybe from the clubs, or from the culture that we think about that way.
Mm.
Like why girls cannot work together? So I don't really believe that.
Mm.
But I think it's more that we need to build it younger age. Mm. We cannot like start building that when it comes to when they are over 20.
Mm.
I don't think I think then it's too late.
Mm.
I mean, late to change, do big changes. So I think we have to look younger girls, younger age, and then to build already this kind of team spirit and team. I mean, it's not the answer, but I think it's one big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also because I think my career, I think tennis life, it's quite I mean, it's not easy, like you travel every week, and then you go especially beginning of your career, you go a lot alone.
Mm.
And it's quite might kind of be boring or not that many people around there when you travel every single week. And then if you go more as a team, or you have like two other players going to same tournaments from Finland, you can share the hotels, you play doubles maybe together, and you help each other and things like that. It has it doesn't have to be every week, but at least to part of the year, so it would help as well. But I think we need to build that attitude like younger age as well.
Mm.
And and I think a really big topic is that because we have a lot of girls playing. I mean, if we think about young age, there's same amount of players and the boys side and girls side, so it's not that the boys will start playing tennis more often than girls. But then when we come to this age, 14, 16, something like that, I would say around 16, then it's girls' drawers are empty, and girls are disappearing or focusing other things. So I think this is really big topic, and that we have to look this age and why it's like this, why boys are continuing and there is more players than compared to girls girls side. So I don't have an answer, but I think this is big topic, because then we can see after when they are around the 18, and then we have to pick the Billie Jean King Cup team, and there's not that many options that we could, I mean, not that many players that we could, I could pick, and we, so the level is, I mean, we just don't have that many players who are playing or trying to play professional level. So then it's not that easy to build the team for Billie Jean King Cup.
No. So do you think it looks a little dark for the future then? On the women's side?
I don't think, I would not say dark, because maybe now it has been a little bit more dark or silent season, I would say. But then like now the guys has played so well in the Davis Cup, and there's good boys coming up, and they have played well in the tournaments, and girls as well. So but I would like to talk more about the whole Finnish tennis.
Yeah.
So if Davis Cup team is in the top four, like the women's team or the younger girls, I mean, they have to look like, okay, like they have a chance, they can play well, and they can do well, and we can do as well. So not like, okay, guys are doing, but girls cannot, or women cannot. So it's more like, okay, someone from Finland or team from Finland can do well.
Yeah.
But it can't be men's team or women's team or boys' team or girls' team.
No,
or,
I understand. I agree with you. At the same time, it's quite obvious that the men's have had more success. Maybe it's just a coincidence. Maybe it's just it goes up and down. Or maybe it is because of some reason. And then maybe someone needs to look into it. Why is it like this? So that answer I don't have, but I guess it all depends on the reasons why it is like it is.
So definitely, and I don't think it's just by the luck that the guys are doing better than the girls or women's, but it's I have to look a little bit big picture and also like not only a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe look a little bit more back and see how things has been gone and how things are has done and everything like that, so it's
I understand. If we look at the bigger picture then, if we continue on that track, if we don't look at just the top players, the high performance, if we look at the more general level of tennis in Finland, among juniors now I'm thinking, how is your picture that the level is today?
Yeah, I'm not that much involved in the juniors tennis. Actually, I'm gonna be a little bit more this year, but I haven't been for last years. But I would still think and say that we don't have enough players who really want and believes to try, and the tennis is like number one thing. That I put everything for tennis to my tennis to improve and try to see how far I can go. So we have a lot of players, but it's I don't know how many is thinking about like a really like a professional career. It's more like a like a hobby or even if players are doing well in Finland, it's still like more like a hobby, and maybe they're not even thinking about it to have it as a maybe like a full-time job as a player or even as a coach or something else. So I would like to see that the players I mean, there is many ways to stay in tennis. I mean, of course, as a professional player, but I mean, there's many more options to stay as a coach or working at the club or something, to see the tennis as a lifetime thing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Was it a sure thing for you to continue working with tennis after your career?
Yeah, I knew that I want to stay, and then maybe that's why it was easy to stop, and I didn't have the any problems to stop and then to start like a new life or not to call it, so because I knew it well what I want to do, and that I really want to stay in tennis, and so I kind of had already the picture what I want to do after the career. For me, the quitting and playing tennis as a professional, it's was actually quite easy okay. decision. So
do you miss something from that life as a player?
Not really. It's nowadays I'm a mom and I have a little girl, and working a lot, and have a lot of interesting projects in tennis and also in paddle, and so I don't have time to miss it. And then at the same time, like because I'm part of tennis, I'm coaching, and I have I feel like I can do what I want, so it's a good situation that if I can kind of like choose what kind of work I want to do and who I want to help, or which age group or more professionals or more more adults or whatever. So so if I have the, if someone learns something or they get the, I can see that they're smiling or they're so into it about it, they're so happy that they can play, or they just realized how to hit forehand or whatever, or they're winning some tournaments or something, like I get so much like a good energy from that, and I almost feels like I'm playing there, or I don't know how to explain it in English, but so I get the same feeling and the same energy that if I could help someone to reach somewhere, and it doesn't mean that it has to be like number one in the world, but it can be like to learn new forehand, for example. So I get a lot of good vibes from that. So that's why I'm not really missing. And I did it like 20 years, so I think it was also enough, especially the traveling part. And
but like for now, for example, you don't miss going down to Australia in in January now. It's cold outside and dark.
Yeah, not really. I mean, because I think the traveling part was the main reason why I stopped.
Okay.
Because I was really tired of traveling and every week going somewhere and not staying at home and not like just staying at the hotels, and so I stopped like 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, and I haven't traveled much after that. Like I think twice I've been traveling, or three times maybe. So maybe it's because of that. But I think after maybe, I don't know, a couple of more years, maybe then I wanna travel more or go to watch some live Australian Open or something. I mean, I follow on of course on TV, but not really missing the traveling part. So that's also one reason why I'm not coaching any professional player. Because I know it means that I have to travel. And now at the moment I just feel like I don't want to travel. I want to stay at home.
But do you feel that you possibly could help a lot for the players that are trying the professional life?
I think so, and I, because I have a lot of experience, and I feel like I would have a lot to give, but then at the same time I have to be honest that I know what it takes to let's say if I would have like a one player and try to go and reach the full potential and to reach to the top, and I know what it takes. It's more like that's maybe because now I'm doing like different things. I like that I have a Billie Jean King Cup team, and then I have a different job at the club, and then so I like it more that way, that I can help more people. And then if I would be only coaching one player, it would be 24/7, like just one person and one player. So I know I would have a lot to give, but at the same time I have to be honest that at the moment in my life it's not the best option for me, or I'm not ready for that. So
I understand. Can tell us a little bit what you're doing today. You said you're doing different things.
Yeah, so I'm working for the federation, and the main thing is to take care of the Billie Jean King Cup team, the national team, and then I'm working at the club at Hovas Tennis, taking care of the women's league team, and helping them, and also helping a little bit juniors and adults if I have time.
Yeah.
And then also working in paddle.
Okay.
And and then I do a lot of private coaching for different levels and different ages. So a lot of
different things. It's you said you're working both for the federation and with the HVS, the club. Who have the biggest power in Finnish tennis? Is it the federation or HVS? Because it's such a big club.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, definitely it's the biggest club, and the club who is involved the most and doing the cooperation with the federation.
Mm.
And I would say federation, but then what comes to like coaching and things like that, then it's more HVS, because I mean federation, they're taking care of the many things, and they cooperate with the HVS, for example, like what comes for coaching, and we're doing it in Tali. Mm. most of the time. So I will still say federation, but it's definitely HVS is a lot to
do you think it's good for the tennis in the country that it is such a big club that so much is circling around, if I have understood the standard picture right? I mean, the juniors work with the federation from a certain age in their program, but I mean, HVS are so big and many players goes through their system sometime during their career.
Yeah.
Is it positive or negative with such a big club that is so much is about?
I think it's both. Like, definitely without HVS it would be. Probably no Rosenborg or Otto Virtanen or someone else. So like, because all the good players come to HVS, but then at the same time, I'm from the smaller town, I hope that players doesn't need to move to Helsinki to HVS when they're too young.
Mm-hmm.
That we would have a good places around Finland, I mean everywhere in Finland, that the young players have opportunity to stay home longer, because I think that's, if they move too early to Helsinki, it's quite a big thing, and but then at the same time, I mean, I know how much HVS is helping, like money wise and all the other help that they give for the players, so without that it's also difficult. So I think it's there is a good and bad things in this situation, but I mean definitely I would say like we need HVS for sure.
How old were you when you were moving from home?
I was
16.
Yeah, 16. Okay. I moved to Helsinki, and that was the reason that like nowadays, I mean, I didn't have a coach in my town, and I couldn't get courts, and everything was here, and so I moved here, and then I was traveling already a lot, so then it was easier to go to airport and all these things. So, but the reason why I moved to Helsinki was because of tennis.
Okay. Did you get a lot of? Did you get a lot of help from the federation during your time from juniors to seniors in that step?
No, like if I compared these days, so this is also the one topic that we've been talking about, because I often hear that players are complaining that they don't have money and they cannot travel and they cannot play. You cannot practice or things like that. But then if I compared my time, I didn't get just a little bit, but if I compare nowadays, it's so much more. Mm. So for me, it's not about money issue.
Mm.
I mean, I know it's expensive to travel and expensive to play, but then to make a clever plans, organized clever trainings and tournament trips and everything, you can kind of like also save money. I mean, of course, it's expensive if you play, you fly to somewhere far and you stay there many weeks and expensive hotels and things like that, or always with the coach. I mean, like, I didn't get much help, but for me, big help was my bigger sister.
Uh-huh.
She's 2 years older than me, and so she was traveling a lot with me. She was playing also, but like I had like a friend, and we could go goal together even if we were young. So we were trying to save money that we could play. So we, everything was about that we want to play a lot of matches. So I think nowadays it's more often they play less tournaments to save money for maybe for training or somewhere. But we felt that we need to play. We want to play tournaments. So then we were having a training days that we were training together or we were doing a lot of things also to kind of like save money to have opportunity to travel and play. So definitely I needed to need and think about the money and everything. So
okay, understand. Would you say is your feeling today that the trust for how the federation works are strong in Finland?
It's better than it used to be, and of course, it has to be. I mean, tennis is improving and everything is improving. So of course, the federation and you know, or Finnish tennis needs to be better than it was 20 years ago because it's everywhere like that. So definitely stronger, better. But I still think it's still quite small. I mean, really small federation, and we think they do a lot of good things. And now what I like is that they are closer to the players. Mm. They really try to help them to organize things and organize coaching and trips, and they have like own system for helping the young players to get to the junior Grand Slams and things like that. There's more like clear plans and clear things what they want to do, especially with the players, because I think if we have a good players, then we have a good federation. I mean, it looks
exactly
like that. So the federation needs the players. So I think that's a big step forward.
I
think before it wasn't that. I mean, I felt that way. It's not that. I mean, players are important, but now the federation is more involved in the during the career and helping the players to and also to listen what they maybe needs, what they want, and then trying to help. Of course, they cannot do everything, but at least I feel it's better. I mean, could be much better, but it's better than it used to be when I was young.
Nice to hear. From your experience, from your playing career, and now when you work with tennis, what would you like to adjust or change in the structure around Finnish tennis today?
I mean, like I said, the tennis is strong when, I mean, nowadays, like we see the TV is showing tennis more often and it's more popular. I mean, people are starting to play more tennis and tennis is getting much bigger all the time in Finland and things like that. So we really need to take the chance or take the moment, like when the hype is there, kind of to improve and all the time think about that we have to improve all the time, that we cannot just stay and okay, maybe just next players are just coming by themselves or how to say and it's a many years work and project to help players and stay with them, not like okay 1 year and then we see how you do, very carefully to listen, like because everyone is different. So what is there? What kind of help they really need? Someone needs maybe something else. What comes to maybe traveling, or someone needs more like help from the home weeks or things like that. But federation needs to be close to players. I mean, I'm not talking only the pro players, but also the players who are getting there or wanting to get there. And then So it cannot be only the clubs.
But is that a part of your job now?
Yes, this year I'm gonna work a bit more for the federation,
mm-hmm.
and for the women's and girls tennis in mm-hmm. Finland. So this is, I like more days during the year,
mm-hmm.
And it's not only about like the week that we are playing the Billie Jean King Cup event, or there's more like we wanna see if we can help more the players during the year, but also the younger ones who hopefully are coming to be part of the
yeah, of
women's
course.
Team. So we have to take care of them as well. So
but
it's quite tough because it's not one player or two players,
no.
and it's takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of researches and.
But what are you gonna do during these extra weeks you're gonna work now? Are you doing camps, or are you following them on trips, or what are you gonna
yeah.
do?
Yeah, if we think about the highest players, the top players, and the Billie Jean King Cup team, I'm gonna be more involved in the daily based.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna be. Everyone has an own coach and private coach and own kind of like daily routines and things like that. But for
mm-hmm.
example, this week I'm going to Tampere to stay a couple of days for with the, there is a couple of good juniors and
mm-hmm.
and one was already this week in last year in the women's team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna go there for a few days and stay with them, and also the camps, trips, and then especially the trips like the federation help them to that I can go with them,
mm-hmm.
And then more in overall like more involved,
mm-hmm.
and also the mentoring and things like that. So it's not about the 2 weeks that we play in the matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's super important,
mm-hmm.
but it's also helping my job because then I see them more often, and
mm-hmm.
I know them already, so I know them very well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, it's always good to spend time with them more often, and then to also if there is something
mm-hmm.
missing or something is maybe going in the wrong way or something, so then I know, or I maybe stop that, or we could help. So it's not about after 3 years and you had this kind of needed this help. But then at the same time also looking for this year to have more often the camps, or maybe even the training paced for the girls here in Tali.
Mm.
So then I would be more involved in that as well.
Mm.
So spending more times on court with the younger ones.
Mm. Mm.
So we'll see how it goes. And but yeah, it's more involved in overall.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it's also, like I said, it's for me, it's also easier. It helps a lot because then I have more time with the players, and I know better what's going on.
How are you as a coach? How are your coaching style?
Yeah, maybe you should ask players who are I'm staying on court with, but I wanna say that I hope that the players think that I wanna take all the players as like an individual, human being, so not like just one group and I do everything same to all of them because they are different. On court and off the court, they're different. But I want to be part of their journey, part of their career, but not. I don't want to be the main person there.
No,
main. The player needs to be the the boss, or how to call it. Like she needs to be the one there, and I want to be one person around who can help her to improve tennis, but in the bigger picture also to it's not only about tennis, it's about so many other things as
it
well
is,
so often
is.
yeah, like often suddenly you play, you start to play so good backhands, and it's not about that the backhand is getting better. Mm. It's more about other things I sold out in the, maybe off court, some things is going on in the off court, or something is not going right. And then, so it's not only about tennis, it's also I want to be a person who they can trust, and trust on tennis court and also off the court, and help them as a player, but also as a person. And everyone is for me like an individual person. Mm. There's no I want everyone I want them to feel that I can help them in many ways, but in the bigger pictures about trust and about believing, and also that but also to be honest. No, I think that's very important, because sometimes you cannot be always nice, because then you cannot be good coach. So sometimes you have to say things that maybe they don't want to hear. Let's say, like, if you want to go to the top, you need to change your serve or something like that. Or now you really have to focus on this or that, or you definitely need to play more tournaments. And this is not, if your week plan is like this, you're not going to get there. What is your goal? So you have to also be honest. And then,
of course,
try to also get some tools or help that whatever they need. Mm. So.
Have you any role models or mentors that you have looked up to, maybe as a player, that now can inspire you as a coach?
I didn't have like a idol in tennis.
No.
Or like any favorite player that I was like following, but I would say my father, because he teach me a lot as a athlete, but also as a person.
Mm.
And he was definitely the one that I looked up to, and the way how he was helping me or as a father, but also as a coach. And and then I have a really close family, and they all have been helping me a lot. And so but then if I think outside of my family, I would say I had a tennis coach in England, and a female coach, and she came to my life when I was 12, I would say 12, and from my town, and she's living in London at the moment, and already many years. So she's been like very, very big person in my tennis career, but also in my life. Like we still like calling like every week, and she's like almost like a second mom to me, and she's been like really big person in my life, what comes to tennis and what comes to other things. So like idols comes like close to me, so not like not too far from, but
okay,
from my father and from my
nice
coach. So.
Well, if you can mention one thing that you think was the biggest reason you became so good that you became, what would you say then?
I would say my head and my legs. So it's kind of like a joke. I always say like my weapons were my head and my legs. So, but if I could say one thing, I would say my head. I was like really strong mentally, and also already in the younger age, and kind of like I don't know how or from where, but I kind of like I had the mentality and the right mentality to get there, or to live that life, or like the professional life. So I don't know. I think it comes from maybe my mom or my father, who used to be athletic, but yeah, definitely I was really strong mentally.
But did you also work on the mental side, or was it like you say, natural born?
Yeah, I mean, it was quite like natural, but of course I've worked that area as well, but to be honest, not that much during my career. And in that time it wasn't even that popular. I mean, that I'm like nowadays
the time has changed. It's more accepted today.
Nowadays it's like players, they see it's really important, that one part of like fitness coach. And so you need also mental coach, but on that time it was like usually most of the time was only tennis coach. You see on tour like tennis coaches, but nowadays you see often like fitness coach or mental coach with the players. So I didn't work that much on that part, so it was quite natural thing.
If you could go back in time during your career, was there something you would have liked to change or do differently during those years, with the knowledge you have today?
Yeah, I mean, I would. The one thing would be that, I mean, I was strong, mentally strong, but then often because everything was so new. Like nowadays, there's so much information on the social media or internet or somewhere, and so it's easier to know a lot about tennis.
It's crazy how
it has changed a lot. And so on that time when I played, I mean, everything was all of time new. I played like junior tennis, then I went to play ITF tournament, women's tournaments, and always when I take the next step it was something new. Like I have like no clue what it's gonna be or what's going on or which tournament I should play or things like that. So but then there was times that, because I had a strong head, that I had the feelings that I should not do it this way. Sometimes it was smaller things, sometimes bigger things, and then I was listening more someone else, like usually coaches or someone, that you should do this, or you should pick this coach, or you should do that, or so me. Yeah, I had the feeling that I had that I knew that I should choose maybe something else, and then I did the wrong. I was listening too much to what the others are saying, because I didn't have that. I didn't trust that much. What's going on? What's the best for me?
Yeah.
I think that's one thing, and then the other thing is to. I was doing a lot, I was training a lot, like I was practicing a lot, doing a lot of different things, but maybe not always clever choices. So let's say like the making the schedule for the week or the half year or the whole year, I was always going full power. So maybe like if it's like fitness or tennis
But to always go full, maybe that took you to 50 as well. You never know, of course.
Because nowadays players are so like scheduled everything.
Yeah.
So for me it was totally opposite. I was just going full time and full power, everything, and especially like fitness side, it was crazy at that time. Like not thinking about that sometimes should just maybe less or not that tough fitness, but yeah, that would
you
be one
became
thing.
Strong.
Yeah.
I have two questions left, Emma. What would you say is now we look at the bigger picture again. What would you say is the Finnish tennis biggest strength and weaknesses today?
I always look first like a professional way, because I'm more working there.
Yeah.
There, but
you can ask it that way if you like.
But definitely I would say the strong thing is that. I mean, small country. We know all each other quite well, and we can work together. We're close to each other, and we cooperate. I would say pretty good here in Finland. If I think about clubs or a federation. And so, for example, if you and another club, you are always welcome to come and practice in our club or things like that. And then, like the best, the good. If you're good in your age group, you will have attention. You get the help because we don't have that many players. But in the same time, it's the negative. At the same time, we would like to have more players. That there is more competing. That they compete against each other more.
Yeah.
In Finland. And then they're more ready to compete also abroad. But like I said earlier, that I mean, like I've been traveling a lot and seeing a different places. I mean, we have such a good places to practice, and it's not about that. I mean, like, of course we would have more courts because tennis is so popular in Finland. But in overall, it's like. We have maybe sometimes too good, good clubs. But it's tough to say. I mean, like the strength and the weaknesses. But because I feel it's the same at the same
but
time.
I think you answered it. I think it was fine. Finally, I always ask all my guests in the podcast if they would like to recommend anything, and it can be anything in life. One recommendation.
Only one.
So tough.
Only one. I would say, remember you only have one life, and live it on your way.
That's almost cliche, but that's okay. No, it's good. And you enjoy your life now.
Yes,
I understand.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. Emma, thank you for taking your time and for sharing your experience.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Great fun to have Emma Laine on the podcast, and she had an interesting career, definitely, with reaching quite far up quick and early on in her career, and then struggle a little bit, but still tried to get back to the higher ranked positions. I love listening to these players that have been on the top and have experience in hindsight and reflect on what they could have done. Maybe more, or maybe what they did great to reach that far high up. So thanks, Emma Laine, for taking part in this podcast. And of course, regardless of what country you are from, great to have these former players involved in tennis again. I would love to say thanks to Leenhof Tennis International, who successfully guide Scandinavian tennis players through the American university recruiting process. Read more on leenhoftennisinternational.com, and also thanks to House of Bontin, who makes smart tennis tools for tennis and paddle players. Please visit houseofbontin.se, and you know you have 10% discount with the code BASLINJEN on everything except slinger bag and already lowered prices. Thanks to all who makes this podcast possible, and talk to you soon again when a new episode is released.